Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with summer now in high gear, for some New York children, that means sleepaway camp, sailing, sports, summer stock theater, so many exciting and enriching experiences for your children that it just might make you jealous, or at least miss your kids a whole bunch while they're away having the time of their lives. Hey, aren't they supposed to be the ones missing you? New York Sun columnist Lenore Skenazy wrote about this. Hi, Lenore. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, fun to be here.
So you use a term in your column, child sickness. What is that?
Yeah, it's the sort of parental flip side of homesickness. Except I'm not sure if kids experience anything nearly as deep and traumatizing as parents experience when their kids go off to camp and they've been used to hanging out with them all day and taking them to soccer and soccer and any other activity like tutoring all night and texting them in the meantime and calling them on the phones as they leave their schools, and suddenly, yikes, they're not there.
Well, I think they're always
parents feel the loss.
Yeah, I think there were two kinds of kids in summer camp. You know, there were the few who would just be so homesick, they'd be begging mm-hmm. the camp director for permission to call home three times a day, and that permission would always mm-hmm. be denied. And then there were the others who would go, no parents, woohoo. Let's play
it's
ball.
It's also possible that the kids who asked, you know, please let me call home three times a day and were denied that permission are the ones who turned into the woo-hoos after they sort of let the homesickness fade because it wasn't being constantly reinforced by talking to parents at home saying, yes, we miss you too. It's only 2.5 weeks till Visitor's Day.
And
is something to be said for cauterizing the wound.
Do you have kids away at camp?
Oh, do I? I'm such a hypocrite. My kids are across the street at camp. So what can I say?
So in your column, you mentioned parents who've reached the point of neurotic when it comes to checking up on their children at camp.
Well, the neuroses is sort of reinforced by the camps themselves, and which in turn is reinforced by the fact that we have web capabilities now. And so it's a ton of camps now that will post photos, daily photos. I was just looking at an email from my friend who goes through them every night, looking through the 100 photos for, you know, pictures of her daughters. And I said, well, what happens? Do you call the camp whenever they're not smiling? And she said, oh, they do not post the ones where they're not smiling.
Do kids keep their cell phones with them in camp?
I can't speak across the board. I know that I spoke with one camp, which is called Sail Caribbean. It's based on Long Island, but then they send the kids off to the Caribbean. And mm-hmm. this is the first year in their 29-year history where they had to cave into parents' demands and let the kids hang on to their cell phones. And then the kids call home and say, Mom, we had pasta again last night. I mean, it's annoying to the camp because they have two audiences now to please, right? I mean, they're trying to please the campers. But then if the kid doesn't like the pasta and the parent gets upset about the pasta too, then the parent calls and then they're trying to placate them the whole time.
We have a few minutes for calls on this. Parents, call us up right away and talk about your kids if they're in sleepaway camp. Who misses who more, and do you keep in contact? Do your kids have cell phones on them? I mean, when I was a kid, it was before cell phones, and I did go to sleepaway camp for a few years. And, you know, one of the things is that you were really out of touch, right? You would get the care packages in the mail with the candy uh-huh. and the comic books, uh-huh. you know.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you're really out of touch until visiting day or until you went home. So 646-778-3729. Parents of kids in sleepaway camp right now, what is the experience mm-hmm. like? Do they text you every 10 minutes? And is Lenore Skenazy's coinage of the world, of the word child sickness?
Oh, it's not my word. It's not my word. It's already out there in the psychobabble world with other, you know, with psychologists trying to counsel people on, you know, they have to grow and their connection to you won't be broken by this, you know, several week hiatus between you and them. So it's out there.
That's new. I mean, because, you know, mm-hmm. at least as you write it, that parents used to think of camp as a much-needed break from their kids. Now they can't let go.
And some, of course, some still do. I mean, even my friend who's pawing through the 100 photos a night looking for, you know, does Dana have a scrape, still is, you know, enjoying some freedom. But there are some parents who are really at loose ends. And, you know, I'm sure I can understand that, too. But I think because the break is never what you were just talking about before, this big break that it used to be, because you keep seeing the picture of your kid every day, because you can notice them, you know, with the Band-Aid on, you know, or, gee, there looks like a group of kids who are playing together, and my kid seems to be on the side. You know, you're just, you're living through a more empathy that is comfortable, and maybe that makes it a little harder.
Sharon in Westport. Sharon, your kids already live in Connecticut. They have to go away to camp? I'm just kidding. Hi, Sharon. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, I guess you're not Sharon in Westport. Who's this?
This is Joe in New Jersey.
Okay, go ahead, Joe. What's up?
In reference to the cell phones, having run a camp before, here's what the kids do. Some kids bring up two or three phones. The first two don't work. They give those in because most camps collect the phones. And then they keep the one that does work. And they're constantly texting and calling and whatever, whether it be their friends or their parents. The camp that my daughter happens to go to right now, they allow the kids to call home usually once a week at a specified time. So you find yourself waiting by the phone at Sunday at 6:45 at night to speak to your kid, which is great. You know, I mean, that's fine. It gives you an opportunity. And luckily, our daughter is having the time of her life.
All right, Joe, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. We have the real Sharon in Westport now, I think. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead.
I also have a child at overnight camp, and it's his third summer. They never allow any electronic equipment, whether it's a phone or, you know, a PSP or whatever the kids have. And he says...
Oh, they don't even allow the games?
No games. It's a very wonderful place. The kids, they don't post any of the photos on the internet. Most of my friends who go, go to camp, they get to see photos. And you know what? It's a much better way. I know he's having a wonderful time. He writes home. We can email them. They're not allowed to email back, but you can email them daily so they can get a hello and good morning from mom or dad. And it's just an amazing experience. And there's no cell phones.
No cell phones, no photos
no
daily.
No cell phones, but they still have email.
But email once a day.
We can send them an email.
You can send.
They can't send us. So
really?
It's just like getting a letter.
I
and
see.
The one thing that they.
They just want to create 1955, no matter what.
They do. They sing.
Plus email.
Play.
Right.
And I recommend it to everybody's kids.
Thank you, Sharon. Electronic simulation of 1955, I
That's
guess.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic place. Thanks.
Thanks. Jeremy is child sick, aren't you, Jeremy?
I'll tell you what. I had a boy. It's his first year at summer camp. He's a soft kid. I thought that he was going to be homesick, so I sort of anticipated a call from the camp or something. I thought, you know, I'm a psychiatrist, and I thought I would have no problem. And now, every night I come home, it's like I stay at work when I come home, my wife and we have two other kids, we look around, we go out for ice cream a lot, we try to distract ourselves, and we find that we feel like empty. And then when he calls, you know, he has a friend who has a cell phone. So he called once, he hasn't sent any postcards, he called just for 2 minutes to say he loves it, he's having a great time. He doesn't even sound like he misses us, which is like killing me.
So now put on your professional hat and tell me, as a... Say psychiatrist or psychologist?
Psychiatrist, yeah.
What's the best thing for adjustment?
For me or for him?
Both.
Well, for me, I mean...
You're the one who needs it.
Well, that's right, and my wife is better at this than me, and she's telling me this is like practice, that the kids grow up, and, you know, I spend a lot of time with my kids, so it's hard, but, you know, I guess it's a good sign for him that he feels good enough to be at camp and not to worry about home, but... You know, for me, it's just something I have to work through, is the idea that this kid is eventually going to be an adult and he's eventually going to leave the house. It's just, it's really hard.
Jeremy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And all I could say...
You know, it's interesting. When I was interviewing people, a lot of wives said, I'm so happy, you know, they're gone and it's fine, it's great. But men are like, you know, poking into the room of the child and, you know, moping around or sitting on the bed. And for them, it is... It almost seems like it's a lot worse. I don't know why.
And I'll just say, it's a good thing that most of us don't have access to our therapist's private lives. You don't really want to know.
Really.
A New York Sun columnist, Lenora Skenazy, who wrote about child sickness. Thank you.
Happy camping.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.